Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God of all grace, we thank you for giving us the knowledge of your word and faith in Jesus as our Savior from sin. Graciously keep us in that faith unto death, that we may obtain eternal life, as you have promised in your word. Defend us from all false doctrines. Frustrate the work of those who pervert your word, who deny your sacraments, and who turn people to trust in themselves. Instead, establish the gospel among us, that your true church may be defended and the message of salvation be preserved and proclaimed into the world. We pray this in the name of Jesus, true God and true man, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this eighth Sunday after Trinity is written in the seventh chapter of Matthew, beginning at the 15th verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear people on the narrow way to heaven, our gospel lesson for this morning and our text is one that causes a lot of anger and trouble for us in the world. For instead of saying that all roads lead to heaven and everyone is going to heaven, the gospel, Jesus says that there are only two ways to get to heaven. That is, there are only two roads as far as truth is concerned. The one road that's broad and wide that leads to eternal destruction. And the other road that is very narrow, that through which one must pass through the cross, goes to eternal life in heaven. The Christian church understands that faith in Jesus is the way to eternal life. It teaches and preaches that it has for the last 2,000 years. Everyone who wants to get into heaven must go through that narrow gate on the narrow path, because there is only one way to get into heaven. This teaching, or by definition, this teaching means that all other ways do not lead to heaven. But the world rejects this because they want everybody to be able to get there, no matter who they are or what they believe. This teaching is resented in the world because it condemns all who do not know Jesus as their Savior, even if they're sincere. For the Bible says about Jesus, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Our sinful nature rejects this teaching because it seems unfair. False teachers turn away from the gospel in order to gain a following. And the world declares this gospel is highly offensive because it seems so unloving. False teachers try to accommodate themselves to everybody in order to say everybody goes to heaven. But Jesus in our text shows us that we are to be warned about false teachers, as we heard in Prophet Jeremiah as well in the Old Testament. People who do not speak according to God's word are defined as false teachers. And yet they may be very nice and pleasant and very pleasant to listen to, But we need to understand why it is important for us not to listen to them or follow them. And so Jesus bids us in our text to know the prophets by their fruits. He helps us understand this so that we judge whether the fruit is good or bad. We discern between grapes and thistles, and we know the narrow way to God's kingdom. It would be a terrible life if you and I were to constantly worry whether or not we would get to heaven. After the Reformation had begun, the devil tormented Martin Luther with statements something like this: "How can you be the only one who is right and the whole rest of the church is wrong?" And that was certainly a torment for Luther, because he was not proud about what had been accomplished through the Reformation. But Luther held on to this, that if he is understanding the Word of God correctly, if he is proclaiming the gospel about Jesus, then he is true. And even if a million other people are against him, God is with him, because he is speaking God's word. He is on the right path. Now, this is not being stubborn or proud. It's simply relying on God's word and his truth and its message of salvation. With God, you and I are in the majority. However, you and I live in a world filled with false messages all the time. And I'm not even talking about fake news. We need to discern between what is good and evil, what is true and falsehood, what is right and wrong. An indifferent attitude on our part about such matters may put our soul in jeopardy in regards to what is true. To illustrate, if only the purest olive oil in the world could cure cancer, would we use olive oil that's contaminated? Or conversely, if we knew of a cook down in a restaurant around here who seasoned the food with arsenic, would we go to that restaurant? And the answer is self-evident: no. What does not seem self-evident to many people, though, is that they can hear messages in the world on TV and think that it's all right for them to hear messages that aren't exactly the truth of God's word, and it won't hurt them or damage their soul. People are willing to take the chance that the false teachings they hear will not harm them because it makes them feel right, or because they desire peace with the world, or because people think that they know better than God. The Bible is not a supermarket of ideas where we can pick and choose whichever ones we want to believe in and discard the rest. In our text, Jesus contrasts true doctrine with false doctrine when he says, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit." In this illustration, the adjectives good and bad refer to faith in Jesus, the message of the gospel. In the context of Jesus' words, a bad tree is one that preaches false doctrine about Jesus and in salvation. A good tree preaches the truth about the narrow way that leads to heaven. Now, Jesus defined a bad tree as one that produces only bad fruit. Now, in Jesus' day, the Sadducees were people who were ruling over the church of that time. They did not believe in heaven. They did not believe in life after death or resurrection, and they did not believe in angels. They were bad trees producing bad fruit. The other sect was called the Pharisees, and they were trying to reform the people by adding to the law of God. And they had 618 different regulations or laws that the Jews were to keep in order to be a good Jew. These Pharisees were very good at telling other people what to do, but they did not know anything about the Messiah, about the forgiveness that the Messiah would come. And so they were also bad trees that produced bad fruit. The fruit is bad because false prophets proclaim the words of man instead of the words of God. People were pointed to their own obedience, to their goodness, to their sincerity, instead of being pointed to Jesus. They were warned what God said. There is none that does good, no, not one. That's in the Old Testament. They should have known this. But they were trying to make people better in their lives and thinking that this would please God. We live in times that are similar to those in Isaiah, who said, "Woe to those who call good evil and evil good, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We hear of Christian leaders, demonstrations supporting abortion or homosexuality or euthanasia, and condemning people as unloving who oppose them. Pastors preach a message of tolerance for false teachers and non-Christian religions, and condemn the gospel that Jesus is alone the way to heaven. Jesus tells us to beware of these false prophets, for they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Jesus' point is that one cannot judge a false teacher by his outward appearance or how he deals with other people. For often, a false teacher will show himself to be kind, to be very intelligent, to be caring about the other person. And still, he preaches the poison of man's words. We are to identify false teachers by their words in relationship to the gospel. St. Paul wrote a warning. "Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." If such people work hard to deceive us, to turn us away from the truth, it's important for us to know their nature and to identify and discern the truth from false teaching. Jesus says, "You shall know them by your fruits." And so it's important for us then to know the fruit of these false teachers. Over the past 200 years, many people have lifted up their voices in opposing the gospel and have created a great following and have brought many people to destruction, spiritual destruction. Just as we know what good fruits there are to eat, so Jesus tells us that he wants us to pick out the good fruit in order that we don't take the poisonous fruit. Spiritual thorns will kill us because they point to the broad road that leads to destruction. Jesus helps us by changing the picture a bit about the good tree and that bears good fruit and the bad tree that bears bad fruit. We can judge the tree by the value of the tree by its fruit. So with false teachers, if they speak things against God's word, then we know that that's a bad tree, no matter how likable they may be. For example, a long time ago, Jim Jones was a preacher in California. He had a great following. He was very kind to the poor, and there were many people who followed him. And many people followed him to South America, and later then were forced to drink Kool-Aid lined with poison. Now, Jim Jones did not preach Christ correctly. The poison was there before he went to South America. They should have known that he was bad fruit and a bad tree, in spite of the ways he helped people. And many souls were lost because they followed him. Therefore, St. John wrote, as a warning to us, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So then the question is, how do we test the false prophet? How do we identify the fruit? And the first part of that answer is, know your scriptures. You can't know the scriptures if you're not involved in them, if you're not reading them each day. The second part of the answer is to know your small catechism and large catechism and the Augsburg Confession. Both, all of those are in, not the large catechism, but the small catechism and Augsburg Confession are in your hymn books. Those are drawn from scriptures. They tell us the truth. So that if we want to know whether we believe the truth, we can look at what the church has confessed for the last 500 years, 2,000 years. It is like a proof in mathematics. You see the answer and then you change that, the equation, to see if the answer is still the same. And so scripture is God's word. It is truth. We use these other confessions, the Lutheran confessions, to show this is what we understand by scripture. And if we know these things, we will then know what is true to what we're hearing. So if a religious leader or pastor states that Jesus is not God, we know that that's bad fruit. If someone were to say, I hate God because he's so bloodthirsty in sending a son and demanding that somebody dies for my sin, that's bad fruit. If we say that no one has risen from the dead, that's bad fruit. If we hear someone say that infants should not be baptized until they grow up and make a decision for Christ, that's bad fruit that destroys the gospel. If we hear someone say that Jesus cannot come to us in the Lord's Supper with his body and blood, that we don't receive it, it's destroying Jesus' words, and it's bad fruit. If we hear that the Holy Spirit does not create faith through the word and sacraments, but through some other means, that's bad fruit. And we are not to listen to such. If we hear someone speak a lot about Jesus, but that person never talks about Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus dying for the sins of the world, Jesus rising again to proclaim salvation to the world, we're listening to a false prophet. Because the message of the gospel is not just Jesus, it's about what Jesus did to rescue us and save us. Now, God has blessed St. Timothy Lutheran Church for over 60 years with faithful pastors who are not false prophets, who have not produced bad fruit. Their work has produced good fruits of faith in all of us, and many people have been brought to heaven and eternal life through the good work of those pastors. In order that we may continue in the confession of that gospel that you have been hearing all these years, we need to know and discern the narrow way into God's kingdom. The Bible says that there was only one way to heaven, as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Since there is only one cure for sin, all other supposed cures are lies. Jesus teaches this in our text when he says, on the last day, many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? The implication is that Jesus is unjust in condemning them because look at all the wonderful things that they did. But Jesus says, I never knew you, because they were false teachers. Bad fruit, preaching a different Christ and a different way to heaven than what the scripture says. The broad way to hell is paved with many good intentions, many people who are sincere in their thoughts, but who weren't consecrated on Jesus. Now, Jesus is the only way to heaven because he is the only one who has taken care of our sins. God sent Jesus into this world because he loved us. Jesus came because he loved us, sinners though we are, deserving of eternal punishment though we be. But because he loved us, he was willing to take upon everything in order to heal us from our sins. That meant being born under the law to keep the law in our place. You see, as I said last Sunday, only holy people get into heaven. You and I are not going to make it on our own. But Jesus kept the law in our place so that we could be declared holy. Jesus did more because the law says whoever breaks the law must suffer punishment, eternal death in hell. But Jesus willingly gave himself up on the cross to suffer and die in our place, to shed his blood. And that blood is the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, that cleanses us from all sin. That death is the ransom payment for us. So by his holy life and his innocent death, Jesus has won forgiveness for us. And how do we know this? Because God raised him from the dead and declared that all sins of the whole world, all people, are forgiven. That means your sins and mine. And so everyone who believes on Jesus, God looks at that person as though they were holy. Because God has pronounced them holy. They have been washed in the blood of Christ. They have been baptized into Christ and now have been clothed with Christ's righteousness. That's the only way to heaven. Only Jesus has done this. Only Jesus as God could do it. Now, you might think the narrow way is so narrow that only a few get to heaven because God doesn't want anybody else in. That's not it. The picture is it's a narrow way because there's only one way. God wants everybody to come to be in heaven. But many people are drinking the Kool-Aid of false doctrine and are lost because they don't want to go on the narrow path and believe on Jesus as their Savior. To you and to me, Jesus has given us this promise. And this is the will of him who sent me. Everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Not to raise up to eternal punishment, but to eternal glory. That is our hope. That is our joy. That is our confidence. Jesus has done this. He has promised it. He will keep his promise. And you and I have eternal life. May the Lord bless us as we listen to that word, so that we are confident in him and his word, so that we know the gospel and the narrow way to lead to heaven, and that we turn away from all that is false, so that Jesus one day will say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world." May he say this to us all. Amen.